Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Wei-Xin Huang. I'm going to present some study about DDR flow. Another author, Wei Kai-Shi, he is Tokyo-based and he cannot be here today. We presented this material late last year during the Asian IBIS Summit. This is somewhat a revised version. So this is the agenda. First, I'm not going to talk about the motivation why we do this study, and give some background, the reference flow, and then point out if there are situations like asymmetric rise time, fall time, under the assumption that the no reference flow should be changed, how can we achieve that? And we talk about different scenario, am I in need, mostly LTI, and if it's NLTV, nonlinear time variant, how do we do this in gateway, and give some summary. So motivation, you hear a lot of discussion earlier today. The chairperson mentioned that in US every Tuesday we have this ATM conference meeting. I try to call in as much as I can. Around mid last year, we started discussion about MI flow in DDR. Different company has different opinion, just like what you hear today. Some companies think that the reference flow or the existing flow does not need to be changed because their tool can handle the situation already. Some other companies think that the flow is basically for SerDes. We need to revamp the flow completely, otherwise it will not be accurate. Thing is that, as far as I know, for IBIS, if you want to make a change, you need to document the insufficient part, so you need to write some bird document, buffer issue resolution document. So for people, for company who think this is an issue, they probably need to write a document. And I can sense that there might be some IP concern here. So when we also this presentation that last year, there is no such bird document. As a model maker, so I am preparing this presentation as a role of a model maker. Then I started thinking, okay, assuming there's no reference flow chain, is it possible? So why, when I create a model, do I need to concern about asymmetric rise time or fall time? So I also this presentation, we also this presentation from the perspective of a model maker to see what can be done inside a tool such that it can be claimed by those companies that no reference flow should be changed, need change right now. So this is motivation. Existing MI flow is mostly for differential. They are SerDes and symmetric. Now for DDR, there are some signals are single-ended, and some of them have this asymmetric rise time, fall time. Under the assumption that there is no reference flow change, because different EDA has different opinion, how can we do this? So background, each simulator, when they start doing the simulation, there is a called calculation or calibration phase. According to the reference flow, you need to have an impulse response, characterize your channel. The triangle portion here is the analog buffer, so it's not AMI. So both the TX and RX analog buffer interconnect. It can be transmission line, VR model, connector, package, all are lumped here. So the impulse response will characterize this input and get an impulse response. After that, the simulator passes this impulse response to the TXMI and RXMI. Assuming that there are some number of samples per UI, and if there is no coding existed, then each bit, whether it's one or zero, is 50-50%, then you do the convolution. Different values of convolution, then you get a probability density function, and finally integrate into an accumulated density function and get an I. So this is a typical flow for SerDes. Now, if we read the textbook, right, the impulse response is getting from the delta response. Delta response is the infinite small time. Then you go to one, you come to zero. That only existed in the textbook. As an EDA tool simulator, there is no such thing as infinite time. The smallest time is a one time step. If there is a buffer such as IBIS, if you say I go to 0 to 1 next time step and come back, the buffer is not even have a time to run all this to produce the waveform response using all this VT data. So apparently the input response is just theory. So from what we know, most of the simulator use step response. Okay, so we produce a step response, and then you can take a DUDT, then you produce a impulse response. So this is probably most simulators doing. Now here comes the question. When you have a step response, you can have a rising step response or falling step response. If a circuit has a symmetric RT FT, there's no issue. But if it's asymmetric, then your rise time, your rise response, and fall time response are different. So if you take a delta, a DUDT, then you get different impulse response. So how does this work? How can you pick which impulse response to send? So one idea mentioned, probably call this twice, right? Simulator. So I want to remind that all this characterization happen inside the circuit simulator or EDA tool. So that means the circuit simulator has all the information. So it creates a step response. It has the nodal voltage information. And then you run a simulation, probably the SPICE simulation, it has the receiver information. So all this information are at simulator's disposal. One possibility is to call the AMI model twice, right? After we have input response, we call the AMI model. So there's no limitation in the spec say, I cannot call the model twice. So theoretically, you can first send the impulse response getting from the rising step into AMI model. And then you can send another impulse response getting from the falling step response sent to the AMI model. But this is not necessary and also dangerous because we also hear that there are many critical AMI models. As a model maker, sometimes I have to use the static variable. If I know this, my model will be called twice within the same process. And if I didn't clear some static variable, the second time the simulator called my tool, it might think that the model has been initialized if I depend on this static variable. Simulator may crash or may produce different results. So there are some risks in doing so, and there is no need. Why there is no need? Okay, so before I proceed to next slide, I want to emphasize again, all this information, all this simulation information are available in the circuit simulator. For LTI, this S parameter is LTI. The one characteristic of LTI is the cumulative, right? You can multiply all this response in whatever order. So we also hear that there are several methods that we can just use the rise time, rise step response. So basically that's the upper part. Or we can just use a falling step response and get the impulse response. So that's the second half. But because the simulator has all the information, right? So when we give a step response, we have the nodal information here. You can see the cursor, right? So you have the information here. You also have the information here. You can, as a simulator, you have all the waveforms. So you can derive a transformation between these two waveforms such that regardless you go through this route or you go through this route, at the end, when you get a waveform, you can apply the similar linear transform and get the response from different result from different impulse response. So to capture what I just say in the equation, you have an input, you have a so this is a channel's response. You have a rise output getting from the rise input. Let's go through the channel. Again, for the four, you have a four receiver response produced by the four input through the same channel, right? If you can derive the information, actually you can do because you are a simulator, you have all the nodal information. If you can derive such a transformation at the X end, then all the Y can be applied with the same transform. So that means you don't need to call the same model twice. You can send either the right rising impulse response or fall impulse response, you can do the mathematical calculation, the so-called pre-processing, and then you can get two impulse response. So what this can be done, one possibility is that the simulator, when they do the calculation, instead of just step response or four step response, you can give a very long pause, right? Say 10 nanoseconds. At the end of, in the middle of 5 nanoseconds, probably the rising step response is already settled. Because you run the full pause simulation, at the end of the 10 nanoseconds, you have both the rising step response for the first half and a full response at the second half, right? Just run one calculation, you have two pause response. And then you can derive the transformation function so that you can, regardless which impulse response you give to the channel, under the consideration of LTI, you can get a response from the other input. So this is what we think this can be done. This is probably one way to do it. And other considerations such as a single-ended channel has a non-zero reference voltage, that cannot be addressed because once you take a derivative, the DC information got lost. So there's a new bird proposed to add the DC offset keyword. So this is a simple malloc code to demonstrate this transform process. If you don't have MATLAB, you can use the open source Octave to run the code. So now that you have a two impulse response, just call the MI model one, but you can do the transform and you get the response, two impulse response. You can go through the same process, right? But their eye should be different because one eye, if you just use one impulse response, you get a symmetric eye. If you pass two impulse response, you get two different eye. But because these two response are one for rising and one for falling, so you can pick and choose which part of these two eye and synthesize it as one single eye. If you do so, your eye will be asymmetric. Right? You pick the falling portion of the eye from the four response, but here and here, and then you get a rise part here. You can synthesize an eye, which is asymmetric, by just calling the AMI model once. Now, there are more complications. This is so-called, probably called post-processing. It needs to be done in the EDA tool. So previously, we talked about this calculation and compute this linear transform. This is the before. The EDA tool called AMI model, so this can be considered pre-processing. I mentioned that the normal process, once you have an impulse response output from the AMI model, then based on the sampling point, assuming there is no coding, so each bit has the same frequency, then you compute this probability density function and do the convolve. The assumption here is each bit has the same probability. But if we separate the bit from between whether it's from rising or falling, then sorry to the fast forward, then such independent between bits are no longer exist. Take this as an example. So the next several slides has more details, but the cursor is where the highest point here. So this is the cursor. If you are taking into account that this is a rising impulse response, or rising impulse response getting from rising step. Because this is rising, so that means previous bit, previous cursor must be low state. It cannot be high state. If it's high state, then there is no transition, right? So the probability of one and zero here become different. Similarly, if this is zero, previous bit, previous cursor is from zero, then the second UI before, if this is a zero, that means there is no transition at all. If there is a one and there is a falling transition. So to summarize, this is, it's no longer bit independent between each other. Some kind of traversal algorithm from the current cursor you need to traverse. You probably need to define what is the depth of bit you want to keep track of. Based on that depth of bit, each one have one or zero, you have a number of combination, then you need to keep track of between which the boundary, this is a rising transition, falling transition, or steady state, then you can accumulate. So you need to have this kind of post-processing capability in the EDA tool so that you can have accurate accumulation of your I produced from the impulse response. So this is the more detailed algorithm. Let me skip these two slides. So what I have mentioned is LTI. So to recap, LTI, you can use a linear transform. But what about AMI gateway? So here, this is a reference flow. The reference flow say we have a digital bit pattern. Pass through a TSMI, then we again have this kind of digital bit pattern. The reference flow say this digital bit pattern need to convert with the impulse response to get some kind of waveform before that can be sent into the RSMI and then do this post-processing inside the EDA tool. So this time I checked the reference flow does say that it needs to be done with convert. But we think there might be some issue. EDA tool take the output from the TSMI and do some computation and pass that to the RSMI. So if the tool does what the reference flow said, basically it does this convolution using the impulse response with this bit pattern, right? This is one way to do it. Then we have the question of, okay, so this is the one impulse response. Which impulse response should we use, right? There are some proposals that probably we can use the average MELT impulse response. So there are many ways to do it, right? If a circuit simulator get this bit pattern, ideally it can run nodal simulation, transient simulation. This one goes through the channel, goes through the TS IBUS buffer channel and then RX buffer, then you get some kind of this waveform. Because you are doing nodal simulation, transient simulation, so all this rise time, fall time, asymmetric should be considered. Then in your this waveform, you have all the most accurate information regarding asymmetric R time, rise time and fall time. So this is one possibility, right? But I doubt this is being done in most of circuit simulator, because in the spec, it also say that if we simulate, say 10 million bit, we need to break this into many chunks. So if for each chunk, such chunk, you do this transient simulation, your EDA tool will run very slow. So I don't think any EDA tool is doing it this way. So then there is a problem then. So if we do it according to the reference flow, which is doing a convolution, then there is a problem, which impulse response should we use? Now, this is a pulse, digital pulse. We can, if we ignore this, the emphasis, we can imagine this as a delta response combined with a pulse, a single pulse, right? Single bit response. So if you can separate these two into delta response combined with pulse, then combined with this one, then ideally you can think that, oh, then maybe I can complete this with the delta response combined with pulse response instead of impulse response. Because you have a pulse here, you combine it first with your impulse response. Then you may think that, okay, maybe this way, then I can use input, I have a pulse response to combine with the digital input. There may be some issue, okay? If you do it this way. From here, basically, if you do it this way, basically you are doing superimpulse. If you have a pulse, which is has an asymmetric rise time and fall time, when you overlay with these two together, right? If it has a symmetric rise time form, you get a flat here. But if it has an asymmetric rise time and fall time, when it do the superposition, because the slew rate here, the blue edge and the red edge are not the same. So basically you get some glitch. So if you do it this way, there will be some complexity that need to be dealt with. So this is another situation that this is not documented well in the reference flow. But if you do it in reference flow, I think the post-processing part needs to be done very heavily in order to account for all this effect. Here is another example, MATLAB code or Octave. You can experiment with. It may not be clear here, but if you download it from the foil, it will be more clear. So this demonstrates that if you have a 0111, ideally, when you have a continuous one, the high state should be continuous flat line. But because of asymmetric rise time and fall time, when you do the superimpose, you get some kind of glitch. The severity of the glitch depends on how asymmetric your response is. So summary. So existing fibers MI flow, yes, it can be, it can support the asymmetric, the rise time and fall time if a simulator does it correctly. And we do this study as a model maker with the assumption that my model does not need to differentiate whether this impulse is from rising step or falling step. So my assumption is all the processing, including the pre-processing and post-processing, is done in the EDA tool. If the tool does it correctly, then I think to a certain degree, they should be able to capture the asymmetric rise time and fall time. But if you ask me whether I want to see such document, so the reference flow document produced, of course I want to see it, right? So that I can have more confidence and we can have more idea that some part may have some problems, right? So in this study, we separate into two different flow. One is statistical flow. Statistical flow is simpler. We can just call the model once by giving a very long pause such that we have both the rising step response and falling step response. And because this is LTI, we can derive a transform function between the rise and fall. And so that we can either just send the model impulse from the rising step or falling step and use this transform function and compute the response from the other half. Once we have these two I diagram or the probability density function from these two impulse, then we can do the post-processing and pick and choose which part of I you want to complete the synthesized I. Doing this way, your I will be asymmetric. And the one complexity is that you may need to do some tree traversal, keep track of a previous bit. So there's a limit of how far you can go back in terms of this data waveform propagation. In terms of a time domain, I think there may be more problematic because in the reference flow, it spells out that the simulator needs to use convolution, convolve the impulse with the digital output of TX. And we just presented there may be some issue. This is suggested by reference flow, but the output of TXMI is a digital output. The input to the next stage, the RX, is the analog waveform. In between is controlled by the EDA tool. So how they do it, there's no control. As long as they go through this, probably we don't even know whether they are doing this convolution or not. But I just point out there may be some issue. If you're using the superposition, there may be some glitch and need to be considered. So this is what we have. So any questions?
So did you implement any of this, or is this?
So
because you're not showing, like, I don't think, unless I missed it, how close you're coming to circuit simulation.
Right. So I mentioned we are doing this study as the model maker, right? Uh-huh. So it's not our focus to implement this in the circuit simulator. Mm-hmm. But there are some theory which we do this using the experiment code. But using this experiment code, we can see that we can transform from one to the other. Mm-hmm. That means if an EDA company, they want to do it more slowly, they should be able to do it.
Thank you, Wei-Sing.
Okay, thanks for your attention.